Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back to pass, looking left, and stretching and reaching for it is Kincaid, and he stumbles into the end zone for the touchdown. A 20-yard touchdown hookup, Allen to Kincaid, and the Bills are an extra point away from tying it up early. Allen gonna roll left, looking for someone in the end zone, and now Shovel passes it, complete to Jackson Hawes for his first career touchdown. From 5 yards out, Josh Allen looking like Magic Johnson on the fast break and shovels it to Hawes for the score.
It looked like Josh Allen was going to take that one in with his legs. Instead, just flips it sideways to Hawes. Hawes on the play, started in motion, faked like he was going to block. They run hard play action to Cook, who's
Allen has to step up in the pocket, fires, it's complete over the middle to Elijah Moore, 50, 45, 40, and down to the 35-yard line. There's the catch and yards after by Elijah Moore for 30 big ones.
Some of the sounds from last night's 31-21 Buffalo Bills victory over the Miami Dolphins. Chris Brown on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network, you heard Eric Wood in there as well. Nice night inside the stadium last night. It was a beautiful night for football, and the Bills get to 3-0 for the second straight season. Welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on a Buffalo Football Friday. It is a Victory Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. Call the 8s. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's Hometown Fuel. Game day ready since 1922. You look at the schedule upcoming for the Bills. I mean, we know they have 10 days off before they take on the New Orleans Saints coming here to town on September 28th. And then it's another home game at night. That's the rivalry jerseys against the Patriots, the white jerseys that they unveiled a couple weeks ago. That's going to be on October 5th. And then it's a Monday night game in Atlanta, October 13th. I mean, the Bills have a real look at, you know, getting to 6-0 before the bye. That can be really ambitious, though. It's a lot to ask. It's the NFL, folks. I know that they should be favored in every game. They will be. But man, even last night we saw, right? Anything can happen in the NFL. So even if they're 5-1, let's say, they drop one somehow. You hope it wouldn't be the Patriots, I guess, in the division. But either way, let's say that that happens. You get to 5-1 at the bye. It's a pretty good, darn good start to the season. You get Carolina after that, and then it starts to get a little interesting with the Chiefs, the Dolphins, the Bucks, the Texans, the Steelers, the Bengals. That run, that stretch in the middle of the season, you know, that's why you want to keep winning now, stacking these wins, as they say, keeping some distance between you and the rest of the field, because then if something does happen, you drop a game or two, you might have that cushion. And right now the Bills have a cushion. They're 3-0. They're the first team to 3-0 in the AFC. They have the head-to-head over Baltimore. Nobody else in the AFC East has more than one win. And you just got to keep plugging along. 803-0550. The number to call here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We'll get connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Josh in Clarence has been holding for a while. Thank you, Josh. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Sal. Happy Friday.
You too.
Yeah, thanks. I just had two things. First off, Elijah Moore. I was kind of unsure about him in the preseason, but I really like how the Bills have been using him these last couple weeks with those jet sweeps. And then he's had some big catches for first downs, especially the one to kind of close out that game last night. Mm-hmm. And it kind of brings me to my second point. So the Bills are going to have to make some roster decisions in the coming weeks with the suspended players and Max Harrison potentially coming back from injury. Just looking at this roster, it's so well put together. I just don't see who's going to be out when these guys come back in. But one player that does come to mind is Curtis Samuel, because it seems like Elijah Moore has been doing what they maybe wanted Samuel to do. And I don't know, I just kind of wanted your thoughts on, you know, who could the Bills move on from when these guys potentially come back?
It's a great question. I've kind of avoided it because we're not there yet, and injuries could play a part in that. You hope that's not the case. You hope everybody's healthy, and you do have to make tough decisions, Josh, no doubt. They are a couple weeks from that. Let's just remember how this works. Max Harrison is allowed to start practicing after 4 weeks if they feel that he can practice and he's healthy enough. Then they still have 3 more weeks to even activate him. So we're still talking, you know, another month away before they maybe have to make that decision, Josh. But I do think, to your point, to not avoid it here, I do think Curtis Samuel would have to be on the table considering he's been a healthy scratch right at this point. And maybe that's a guy you look at. Jamarcus Ingram was a healthy scratch last night at corner. And if you're going to bring Max Harrison back, how many corners do you need, right? So Jamarcus Ingram could be a guy there. What do you got at linebacker? Shaq Thompson, Joe Andreessen. I mean, Andreessen's the direct backup to Bernard, but Shaq Thompson's played well in multiple roles here. So there's just a lot of guys. When Ogunjobi comes back, do you even do that? Here's a question, Josh, that I don't know. Is Ogunjobi even guaranteed a spot when he comes back? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know where you fit him in, to be quite honest with you.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes, like you said, sometimes those injuries kind of even everything out, but just kind of curious, like where, you know, what kind of maneuvering they can do, but it's a good problem to have, I guess.
No doubt about it. And I think that your point about Samuel's probably right because, you know, he's been a healthy scratch, but I mean, the Bills have been reluctant to do that because I think they like a lot of the things he does, which Elijah Moore's doing now. And they pretty much already paid him. Right. But sure, certainly that could be on the table. Let's go to Walter. Hi, Walter. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. I know it's a victory Friday, so we have a lot of callers. I just want to make a couple of points of you and ask you a question. You know, you can tell the linebackers, Bernard, which is a bigger homework, because he ran to that interception. The ball didn't come to him. He ran to him. Like he jumped it. It kind of reminded me of Malcolm Butler. I know we don't like talking to Patriots, but remember how he jumped back to him. That throw to win the Super Bowl in Seattle. That was so reminiscent. I love the way our offense is shaping up. I love the three tight end set. I mean, Cook is 2-3 yards into the backfield before anybody touches him on the other team. And that's because of a great blocking. So, and I like the Dink and Duck they're doing. They're becoming such an efficient offense. I do want Seattle to set it downfield a little bit more. I think yesterday was once. Yeah, I got to keep the defense honest. But quick question for Sal, and it's not a criticism of coaching, but I don't know if I would have taken that field goal shot there to go up 10. I might have just tried to run at the clock, maybe came in deep. I mean, why risk getting it blocked? Why risk a run back for a TD? Because, you know, sadly, over the years, that's been a very...
Well, a couple things here. It's a good question. I wondered what they would do too, Alter. So... if you don't kick the field goal there, what do you do? What would you do? Do you go for it? Because if you go for it and get stopped, you give the Miami Dolphins the ball near midfield down 7.
Yeah, but they need a touchdown, not a field goal. How about punting it and try to pin them back? Like, I know it's not a difficult punt. He's got to get some good.
Well, you could do that too. But how much space are you really giving up? It's a maybe it's a 15-yard difference. And again, they get the ball down 7. I think... here's what I think at the end of the day, and it's a really good question. I thought about it too, what they would do, but you know what? This comes down to just having faith in what you're having faith in your players to execute. And they're like, hey, we're going to kick the field goal and go up 10. You know, if it gets blocked, then we're all, oh my God, I can't believe you did that. But then why didn't they do their job right? I think it comes down to they trusted the fact they could make the play. And if you give them the ball back, you're down 7. By kicking a field goal, you're up 10, and the game's over.
We missed one, and we almost had a block against Baltimore. But they didn't.
But they haven't since then.
Almost.
Right?
Almost. Yeah. No.
But they didn't since then.
I would have just run the clock. I mean, they had no more timeouts, Miami. I mean, how many plays? If you pin them back, even inside their own 20, how far downfield are we going to be able to go? You know,
well, it depends. I don't know. You could also get a pass interference downfield.
Yeah, I suppose. I just would have gone with that.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you, but I'm telling you, like, they said we can make a field goal, and they did. And if you give them the ball near midfield, you know, down 7, then you're giving Miami a chance to score and tie the game. And I get it. Like, sure, there's a lot of ways you could always wash. You should have done this, should have done that. If you want to say, don't judge it on results, that's fine.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
But they kicked the field goal and they went up 10 and they won the game. So almost got the field goal blocked against Baltimore. You know what's happened since then? Not that, because they fixed that problem. So yeah, you're right. It could have been blocked and then we'd all be ruining it and saying, oh my God, I can't believe they did that. But they had faith that they would make the field goal. And even after they missed one earlier. So yeah, I don't agree they should have gone for it. I'll say that, because if you miss on 4th and 6 or 7 at the time, let me look at the play-by-play here. The Bills had the ball. They kicked the field goal here. 4th and 5 from the 30. Well, not near midfield then. So if you go for it and miss, you're going to give them the ball down 7. They could throw the ball deep, get a pass interference, anything can happen. They said, let's go up 10. It's a 48-yard field goal. We know our guy can make it. Little risky. Didn't turn out that risky. They made it. And you should be happy. 31-21, they win the game. Let's hear from Sean McDermott after the game. This is post-game Sean McDermott after the Bills beat the Dolphins 31-21.
First of all, good to get a win. Never easy. That was a heck of a game. High-level competition. Dolphins played a real good game, and our guys made a couple more plays. And I thought the grit, the mental toughness of our football team was on display throughout the game, in particular in the fourth quarter there. Deion getting his hands up, Deion Walker and TB making that play and then being able to seal the game. Good to see in a 4-minute offense there, you know, get the yards we needed to put the game away with Matt and Reed and Cam going out there. That's a key situation to be able to put it away right there. And crowd was phenomenal, as it always is. Great to play at home in front of our fans. They're unique. And we love them. Couple firsts. So we've got Jimbo tying the franchise record for consecutive rushing touchdowns. Jackson Hall's in his first NFL touchdown. Great to see the smile on his face. And I already mentioned TB and Matt with the kick there. So a lot to work on. Kind of hit a little bit of a gap there in terms of scoring. Thought we were off to a great start, and then we shot ourselves in the foot a little bit there with the third or fourth drive, and I thought it should have been 17-7 at a minimum. We missed a field goal and they went down and scored. So 14-14 at half, but our guys didn't blink. They were resilient. Coaches did a great job on all three phases and continued to adjust and make the adjustments we had to make. So with that, time is yours.
Coach, do you feel like you guys effectively started hemming Tua in because they rolled him out maybe more than we're used to seeing, making some plays out on the perimeter, and it seemed like you were able to hem him in a little bit more effectively in the second half.
I thought Bobby and the defensive staff made some adjustments. Still too many third down conversions where he was extending the play more than I would have liked to have seen, and so we got to look at that a little bit more, and same with the red zone. But overall, making a big play like that, I thought defensively we felt like we were playing well. Other than the first drive, you know, I thought at halftime we were playing well. It was the third downs before the half, and then the third downs really after the half. It continued, but I thought first and second down by and large was pretty good. And it's a good offense, right? Explosive you know, but I thought we gave our offense the ball. You know, getting the ball to the offense. We just couldn't find a rhythm other than the first drive of the second half of an offense. So, but give Joe and those guys credit. I mean, you score 31 points, and you seal the game in 4 minutes for the most part. So that's hard to do.
Sean, you mentioned Deion Walker on the interception play. Think about how far he's come since the draft and the work that he did on his body in the offseason. And then to make a play in crunch time like that, I mean, what does that say about him?
Yeah, that's huge. We always talk about rush and coverage working together, and you know, that won't show up necessarily in the stat sheet, perhaps, but that could have been as big of a play, you know, even more so than TBs. I don't want to, you know, kind of grade them against each other, but if, you know, if he doesn't do that, does the ball, you know, is the ball thrown a little bit, you know, a little bit more one direction than the other? So great read by TB, great rushing coverage example for our players to learn from.
Terrell said that Al Holcomb showed him something like that during the week, and that how important is that about kind of keeping that in the back of your head, because you never know in the course of a game when you're going to need that?
Well, there's a certain thing we look for, you know, in that style of coverage, and TB saw it, and which is growth. Last week we had two examples of a similar type of indicator, and we didn't see it. So that's growth and development. And that's what coaches are here for, and players have done a phenomenal job of being coachable, like TB in particular.
Any health reports at this point, Coach?
Don't have anything for you. No.
Is there anything that Jackson Hawes allows you guys to do offensively, being that he's such a good blocker in the run game, and we've seen him make a couple good catches now?
Yeah, you know. It's great when these young players can come in and contribute and earn their spots and their roles. And he's very humble and comes to work every day, extremely tough, hard worker. And it's good to see him contributing in both the run and the pass. So, you know, we'll see where it goes from here.
Sean, you had Dalton make a big block on a play, and then you got Hawes making a big catch. So isn't that kind of – that's messing up the narrative there of what these guys are, right?
Yeah. Well, we got to go back and look at that then. We don't want to be too balanced.
John, you mentioned the third downs and needing to still look at them from a defensive standpoint. But was there anything to the third and long that was particularly working for the Dolphins and why they were able to convert?
Well, you know, again, what I remember from the game was the quarterback extending some of the plays a little bit longer than he should be able to. And then finding an open receiver, which is going to happen the longer receivers have time to move around. So I think that's something that, again, that we have to look at and you know, continue to kind of tweak to figure out. It's past my bedtime. I'll see you guys. Continue to figure out, especially with Ed not being available. So we'll see where that goes in the next week. But you know, we miss Ed inside, and you know, TJ's in there, Joey's out there, Greg's out there, Daquan's out there, and they're getting the quarterback to move, but the rushing coverage just have to time up a little bit better. So, you know, but again, I tip my cap to the defense. They played their hearts out, played hard against a really good offense, and to say, hey, to really be able to kind of shine the light on probably the biggest problem area being that was third down. I mean, you know, last year we only got them in 8 third downs in the second game. I think tonight we had 15 third downs. We had 10 at halftime. So it's closing a team out, closing a drive out, and cashing in those situations. We've got to look at that.
It's an interesting comment right there by Sean McDermott, isn't it? And he said, you know, yeah, the third downs, obviously 10 of 15, not a good percentage. but you forced him into 15 third downs. That's really good football on defense, but you got to finish it. And I think it's an interesting way to look at it. So he actually liked the way his defense played overall, but third down was an issue, but really that was the only issue. The Dolphins averaged 4.6 yards a play. That is very low in the NFL. The only thing the Bills, like defensively, I had an issue with yesterday that could be better was third down defense. And that started because they just didn't get to Tua. And they did some nice things to move him, but he never finished him. That's it. Otherwise, the defense actually played a good game yesterday. 4.6 yards a play is not much in the National Football League. 803-0550, number to call. Sal Capaccio here. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show in Adams and Silver Creek. Hi, Adam.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
Just kind of, you know, just going based off the eye test last night, seemed like when we blitzed, just the inability to get to 2-0. You know, we know his mobility is very, you know, average, I'd say, at best. I mean, just, I guess, how concerning would this be to you that, you know, even when we do bring extra pressure, you know, we fail to get to the quarterback, you know, especially given the talent that we do have up front, even minus Ed Oliver. I think we're still very talented in the front four. And then also with the tight end position, I'm absolutely loving what I'm seeing out of Jackson Hawes. Just where do you kind of see him fitting into the offense? I personally see him getting ahead of Dawson Knox in terms of, you know, priority and on the depth chart, you know, given Knox has a history of drops. And, you know, we saw that last week, especially on a critical third down. So I'm just going to hang up and listen to your comments, and thanks for taking my call.
You got it. Number one, yeah, it's concerning. But listen, they didn't finish Tua. They did get to him enough where he had to move. That was one of the things that he did, which was like, wow, I can't believe this is Tua. He moved. He got out of the pocket. He ran. And you don't account for that when you're going against Tua. You're not trying to have him in. He's not Lamar Jackson. Against Lamar, you're like, let's keep him in the pocket. Second half, they did a much better job of that, of keeping him in the pocket. And they said, okay, if he's going to run, we're going to have to keep him in the pocket here. I didn't like the fact they couldn't finish Tua. I don't think it's as egregious, though, as the stats look. I agree with you. They should have been better in the pass rush, but they were getting close, and he was getting out of it. And I do think Ed Oliver will help. So am I concerned? Sure. But I think there are – that was a game where you didn't expect him to be able to move out of the pocket, and you weren't planning on that to keep him in the pass rush. Yeah, I mean, there was one play. Tre'Davious White just took a terrible angle at the very end of a nice blitz. Good, great time blitz. Well called. Bobby Babich. Tre'Davious White's got him in his sights, and he just – he spins right away from him, right? If Trey gets to him and goes for the back shoulder instead of the front, you're probably talking about a sack right there and a big loss, right? So those are the little differences that wound up mattering. I don't know why. I love Jackson Hawes too and what he's bringing. And I get this a lot. And I heard somebody call yesterday and say he could take over for Dalton Kincaid. I mean, you don't have to be so quick to rush to get somebody off the field when a lot of things are working with them on the field. And I know that's not what you're saying on the call. You said that, you know, maybe he takes over Dawson Knox in the depth chart. I don't know. Not right now. I think Jackson Hawes is in a good role. He's a blocking tight end. And yes, Dawson has had some drops. He's also, you know, been available for Josh Allen and made some catches. And he's able to kind of offer you a little bit of the blocking, a little bit of the catching. He's not the pass catcher Dalton Kincaid is. He's not the blocker Jackson Hawes is, but he's in between. And the Bills can run 13 personnel out there. The Bills like what they have there. I don't see Jackson Hawes taking over Dawson Knox snap count usage anytime soon. But I do think that as he goes on, you know, that's a conversation for another day. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.